Mike Jones is with us. As I said, he played with three teams in the NFL, won a Super Bowl championship with the Rams. We've talked a little bit about the Raiders. Go ahead, pick up the story about you then going from the Raiders to the Rams, Mike.
Well, it was so weird because every team I went to, I never thought I would play there. When I went to the Raiders, I was a running back in college, so I thought I would end up somewhere playing a fullback. Well, the Raiders wanted me to play linebacker. They seen something in me, so they moved me up to linebacker. But when I became a free agent, you know, was I the top free agent? No, but I mean, I had a lot of teams I was interested in. So it didn't work out the first couple of weeks, and so I'm sitting at home, and I'm living in St. Louis. So I get a phone call from my agent telling me to go over to the Rams Park because they want to talk to me. But the ironic thing was I knew they had Lewis Bush over there as well because me and Lou had the same agent. So I'm like, you sure you want me to go over? He's like, yeah. So I go over there. I meet with Coach Ramil, Lou Meeksley, the late boy, Bud Carson. And then we flip. And then after that, you know, they decided they want to sign me. So I'm like, well, where did this come from? He said, well, Mike White, who was my head coach with the Raiders, recommended you and thought you'd be a good guy to help turn the program around. So I go to the team that I think I was going to go to. And it was different, so much different than the Raiders because Al was on the field two times a week, and if we weren't playing well, he was out there three times a week. If we were playing real bad, he was out there all the time. So, you know, you would see Al all the time. And then you go to the St. Louis Rams, and, you know, Georgia was more hands-off. You know, she allowed her coaches to run everything and her general manager to run everything, and John Shaw, you know, he did a great job of getting guys there. And so, you know, it was so much different at ownership levels how they approached things. So, you know, I leave and go to St. Louis. Coach Ramil gets the program turned around. You know, I leave there before he even go to Pittsburgh. And then you go back to a team that's similar to the Raiders and with the Rooney family, because the Rooney family is they're big time involved with the Steelers. But you would see them, but they wouldn't be involved. Like, Mr. Rooney would be up on, you know, watching practice from his office. And he was there all the time. He was there every day. He worked with the team. He talked to the guys, but he was there, but he wasn't so hands on as Al, or and like I said, he wasn't completely off like Georgia. So, you know, three different type of owners, different type of management things, but all three organizations, you know, they had won at all levels, and it just showed that every organization had to be a cookie cutter. Everybody can run an organization differently and still be successful.
Mike, you already mentioned that you came out of Missouri. You were a record-setting running back at Missouri. You didn't play your first couple of years in the National Football League. What kept you going chasing that dream?
Well, you know what? I had a great coach in Jim Hazard. I had played my first year, and I go to the World League, and I didn't want to go to the World League. I played 16 games and played a playoff game. I played special teams, but not a lot of action on defense. So Mr. Davis called my agent, said he wants me to play in the World League. And so I go to the World League, and I meet Jim Haslett. And Jim Haslett, you know, he was probably a godsend for me because that was the first time in the World League. And Jim, I was able to play all the time, you know, get an opportunity to work with, you know, a coach that had played. And then also someone that was aspiring to be an NFL coach as well. So I got a chance to play inside linebacker, which I hadn't done. I was an outside backer, so they moved me to a mic, and I learned a lot of different things just working with him. So those things right there, and then they hired Jim my third year. So I had him for 3 years as a coach, and he really helped me become a better football player, learn how to be a linebacker, learn how to be a professional.
What is the difference between somebody that gets drafted in the first and second rounds or gets drafted at all in the NFL and somebody who signs on and shows up at the team as an undrafted free agent?
Well, I mean, well, of course, if you're a first-round draft pick, you have a little more leniency to learn and be good, but then you have the opposite as far as expectations, see, because when you're a first-round draft pick, you're expected to do extremely well. And when you're undrafted free agent, you're not expected to make the team. So you, as a first-rounder, you know, you got a lot of pressure on you to do well. As an undrafted free agent, you have a lot of pressure to make the football team. So you got different type of pressures on you. One is, you know, you don't want to be called a bust. The other one is you're trying to get a job.
Yeah, and also you get a little bit of leniency, do you not, Mike, if you're a first- or second-rounder because their egos are tied up in making the pick in the first place. So, okay, you drop a couple of balls, but, you know, we've already put this money into him. We'll give him a little more time to grow. You don't get that opportunity when you're an undrafted free agent.
You don't, but then also to, you know, to guys that were first-round picks, then you get nitpicked on everything. I mean, they had a kid I thought was a good football player for the Rams, and Lewis, defensive tackle out of my University of Miami. I thought he was a good football player, but he was picked at the 12th pick of the draft, so they expected him to be, you know, a 10-sack guy, always making me doing this, and he was just a good football player, but he was considered a guy that didn't meet their expectations because they spent that much money on him being a 12th pick in the draft. He's a good football player, but there's so much stuff that happened where he was just doing, you know, he was just doing a solid job and needed to play better, and you know what, so that it kind of backfired on him, you know. And then when you take a rookie free agent, you know, like London Fletcher. I mean, London Fletcher, his whole idea was just to make a football team. And like I said, he played as hard as he could, every single snap. And you can see him still playing at that level because he still has that mentality that, you know what, I wasn't good enough for anyone to draft me. I got to prove somebody wrong all the time. And as a rookie free agent, sometimes you get that mentality and you have to learn how to, like I said, keep on playing hard, keep on working hard, and things like that. And that's the mentality sometimes that a rookie free agent has that may or may not, you know, be inside a first-round draft pick.
The fact that you were an undrafted free agent, went on to play double-digit years in the NFL when the average is maybe a little bit at around 4 years, does that give you a lot of personal satisfaction, both from a playing standpoint and from a character standpoint?
You know what? When you're playing, it's so ironic because you're working for different things, and sometimes you can get so focused on what you're doing you don't enjoy what's going on. When I was playing, I was so worried about making a football team. And once I made a football team, as I moved along, how do I become a starter? Okay, now I became a starter. How do I become a leader? Now how do I become a Pro Bowler? And a lot of times you almost overlook some of the things you do, but you also have to be careful with it because you never want to pat yourself on the back because there's always someone behind you. You try to pat yourself on the back, they can go right by you. So, you know, it's a you got to have a good balance of enjoying the moment, enjoying where you are, but also knowing that, you know, it can be taken from you at any time.
When you sit back and watch an NFL football game on the weekend and see how the game is played, the athletes that are playing it, how it's coaches coached and the systems that are being utilized now, do you kind of smile a little bit, or how do you see the game having played it?
You know what? Without a doubt, the game is safer, and we can all say that. You know, I can look back to 1991, the understanding, you know, the head injuries. You know, we're much smarter, much better conditioned athlete, bigger athlete, stronger athlete. You know, better coach athlete. I mean, you're looking at teams now that have almost 20 assistant coaches, so you're gonna get fine tuned on everything as far as becoming a good football player. You have so many different things out there that can help you succeed outside of football. So, I think they've done a great job of building the NFL and getting players where they're making more money, they're being more successful, they're getting more exposure, they're getting in better shape, they're leaving the game, I believe, healthier, you know, right now where we are than where we were when I came in the league in 1991.
We got about 90 seconds left, Mike, but are you concerned, given all the information that has been put out about the head injuries and everything else, are you concerned about that for your life down the road?
You know what? No, I'm not. And like I said, I'm aware of it. You know, we played this game understanding that, you know, this game was a physical game. It could take a toll on you. Do we know more now than we did in 1991? Yes. But, I mean, everyone can tell you it's the greatest game out there. Anyone can tell you that, like I said, if they had the opportunity to play in the National Football League, I'm not going to say everyone, but 99 out of 100 would say, you know what, the reward is worth the risk.
What's your favorite memory now that you have a chance to reflect back on your career?
You know what, I think, like I said, it, making a football team, making my first NFL team because it was a childhood dream to play in the National Football League, and knowing that, you know, I worked extremely hard and got the opportunity to live my live the dream that I had as a kid. I mean, that's the best thing. I mean, winning the Super Bowl, that was great too, don't get me wrong. You know, but like I said, getting the opportunity to play this great game was incredible.
Mike, I want to thank you very much. I was looking forward to this interview because of not only the play, but also when I got to see you a couple of times with the Raiders, you were always insightful and articulate. Thank you very much for spending time and sharing your thoughts with the fans around the world. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Mike Jones with us again, linebacker who played 12 seasons in the NFL after going undrafted. He finished his college career at the University of Missouri, and he had records for having the most receptions by a running back in a season and also in his career, but best known probably for his actions during the final play of Super Bowl 34 when he made the tackle, which saved the game for the Rams as they beat Tennessee 23-16. We continue across the country and around the world. Nice to have you with us on Sports Byline.